Today's scripture reading comes from Romans 6, 1 through 11. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Yeah, so a couple of nights ago, I saw the movie Hacksaw Ridge. Has anybody seen that movie? Yeah, Hacksaw Ridge. I'm not sure how I saw it because it wasn't on Access Sportsnet Dodgers. It's not on the I don't even know how I got there. But I did get there, and I saw it. And then what it tells is the story of Desmond Doss, a guy who was awarded the Medal of Honor for extreme bravery above the call of duty during World War II in a place called Hacksaw Ridge, which you can imagine what that must have been like during the Battle of Okinawa in World War II. In the beginning scenes of the movie, they show us a few scenes of his early life, of his childhood, so we can kind of get an idea of how Desmond Doss became Desmond Doss, you know. And one of the scenes, it really shows that this was a young kid, a young man who was competitive and sort of oblivious to danger, you know. They show he and his brother climbing up this high, high mountain cliff right over this road, you know, and they go out and they just play really rough right on the edge of this cliff, just kind of oblivious to the danger. But later it really takes a fateful turn for him when he and his brother are fighting, you know, as boys will do. They're wrestling and they're fighting and they're wrestling and doing this, you know, chasing each other around. But somehow Desmond sort of takes it too far. He just starts to go a little too far. He begins to actually punch his brother and then really punch him with real intensity. And then just out of nowhere, he picks up a brick and slams it against his brother's head. Yeah. And he's shocked. It's like you can see it in the boy's eyes. He can't fathom what happened. How could what he did cause this, you know? His parents come and they walk this boy's limp body back into the house, and Desmond just follows along behind, just kind of as though he's awakened from a dream. And inside the house, as the parents are trying to revive their son, Desmond, he walks into the living room. And on the wall there's a sampler. You remember those? They're like prints. And oftentimes they would have a saying down the middle, like home, sweet home, or something like that, with little illustrations around the outside. And as he hears these voices in the back, he looks at the sampler. And it was the Ten Commandments, and his attention is brought to the sixth with this little illustration of the slain Abel in a field, his head bloodied, and his brother Cain standing over him with the stone in his hand. And of course, the legend that says, "Thou shalt not kill." Now, even though his brother survives, Desmond knows at that moment that the sin in him of violence had drawn him perilously close to a great tragedy. And he realizes that he needs to make a flip. And he does. In his heart, he flips from being a violent fighter to being a committed pacifist. Now, as we watch the movie, we find that it will take years for him to really test that commitment and for him to really prove that promise that he made to himself. But at that moment, he knows that he has made a change in his life. Now, you know, and I know that there are tendencies, there's habits, there's traits that each one of us has within us that if we could snap our fingers, we would love to kind of move from the "it's got a hold on me" column over to the "now I'm free of it" column. In our daily lives, you know, that ledger that we have, those things that seem to have a hold on us, and we just really want to be free from them. It can be a lot of things, right? Those things that have a hold on us. It could be anxiety, it could be worry, it could be pride and lust, it could be anger, it could be resentment. There's all kinds of things that grab hold of us, and we just want to move them from the "hold on me" to the "now I'm free." Yeah. Well, Paul is telling us today that we have reason to rejoice, isn't he? Isn't he telling us today that we have reason to say hallelujah to Jesus? Because he has already flipped that for us. Because of him. Because of him. Because of Jesus. The "hold on me," the sin, has been flipped to "now I am free." The very power of sin has been killed in all of us, in each one of us. And all we have to do is begin to wake up to that fact. Sin has been killed in each one of us. The power of sin over us. And when Paul says sin has been killed, the power of sin has been killed, he means all sin. He means the power of all sin. That means the sin of the past and the present and the future. The sin in you and the sin in me. The sin in you and the sin in me that wants to pull us into those nasty habits that are kind of, you know, reflections of our self-centeredness sometimes and our self-absorption sometimes. The sin that shows itself in those traits that are really rooted in fear of the things around us. We feel so fearful. It wants to release us from that, the sin that pushes us towards the tendency towards self-destruction because we believe somehow in our hearts that we're not worthy of love or that nobody loves us or we can't love anybody. We have those things. We have those lies that we have believed. Lies that we've believed often since we were very, very little children. Lies that are carefully cultivated by the evil one. Lies that are made to be like chains that hold us down, that prevent us from, and separate us from others and from ourselves, and separate us from God himself. Is this true? Am I making sense? Separates us from God himself. Man, how many of our problems, how much of our suffering would we avoid if we wasn't so much separation between us and other people, and our empathy for other people. If we could love the way Jesus says to love, that alienation from ourselves, alienation from each other, it all boils down to the separation from God. That's the root of all sin. Well, God in his grace, God in his mercy, God in his great love for us, he gathered up all of that sin, didn't he? He gathered up all of that sin, the weight of all of the sin of all of the world, and he piled it. He put it up on top of Jesus. He put it on Jesus' shoulders. He crammed it into Jesus' body, and on that cross at Calvary, he died with that sin upon him. Oh, we don't like to think of Jesus being full of sin. We don't like to think of Jesus as 100% sin, but he was 100% sin in that moment. Your sin and my sin upon him. Here's the proof. Psalm 22, everybody believes, everybody knows. This is a picture of the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning, Jesus said on the cross. Because your sin and my sin was on him. I'm a worm and not a man. I'm scorned by men, despised by people, because your sin and my sin was upon him. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults. They're shaking their heads. I'm poured out like water. My bones are like out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. It's melted in me. My strength is dried up. My tongue sticks. I'm like the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet because my sin and your sin was upon him. Yes? Oh, God. Yeah, we love to see this Jesus. I like this Jesus, don't you? It's beautiful. In the garden, and he's holding out his hands to us. He says, come to me. But listen, the reason he can say, come to me, the reason he can say, come to me, is because he went through that cross, because he piled, he took that weight of all of our sin onto himself, and he went down to the grave, and guess what? He left the power of sin in that grave. Hallelujah. Yes. Hey, praise God. He left the power of sin over you and over me in the grave. We know, Paul says, that our sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Oh, goodness. But we say, how could I have died with Christ? I wasn't there. I wasn't in Bible times. I wasn't there. Paul tells us, doesn't he? He says this. He says, once upon a time, people, once upon a time, if you're sitting in this room, once upon a time, I'll bet you were baptized. Eh? Yeah. And in that moment, when you were baptized, you were marked. Marked to move from separation from God to adopted by God. You're marked to be transformed, to be fit for eternity with God. And it doesn't matter if you walked up on the altar on your own or if you were carried up as a little baby. I'm telling you what. I'm telling you this now. No matter how you came up here, the Holy Spirit escorted you onto that altar and surrounded you with his Spirit. This was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, and you were joined with Christ in that moment in his death. And you went down with him and you left your sin in that grave. And it is there the power of sin no longer has power on you. Oh. But listen. We were marked to be transformed for eternity. The Holy Spirit has done that for us. The grace of God has done that for us. But listen. It's by our choice. In the power of the Spirit, joining with the power of the Spirit, that we become transformed for Monday, Tuesday, for Wednesday, for every day leading up to that day that we finally cross over into heaven. That is our choice. That is us. That is our challenge to prove the power, to prove the promise given to us in our baptism. Yes, to awaken to what God has graciously given to us, to accept that sin no longer has power over us. To reject the remnants of sin that we deal with every day that tries to pull us back, that tries to mess with us. To reject that sin and to embrace the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ. Yes, the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ when we give ourselves to Him and become His slave. Hello. Yeah. It's the promise. But we prove the promise. We prove the promise. Desmond Doss, you watch this movie, you'll dig it. Desmond Doss, you know, he knows that he has made this flip. He's made this flip from what had a hold on me to now I'm free. He knows that that sin of violence no longer has a hold on him. But it took time, and it took time over years for him to test that conviction, to prove the promise he made. And here's the thing, as committed as he was to nonviolence, as committed as he was to never taking a life, he was just as committed to serving his country alongside his fellow Americans to fight the evil that was threatening the world in World War II. So he enlisted into the armed forces. He enlisted with the idea that he was going to be a medic, that he would never carry a gun, but he would be a medic, and that he would, in his words, put back together what everybody else was pulling apart. But guess what? The military didn't like this. They didn't like that he would be there. And the people that he served with didn't like it either. They didn't like the idea of carrying the weight of a man who would not pick up a gun and defend them and have their backs. So they did everything to get him out of the military. Oh, yeah, man. They beat him. They humiliated him. They spat on him. They gave him all the worst jobs. They brought him before a military tribunal and tried to court-martial him out of the army. But he stood fast. He would not go. Much to the everlasting gratitude of scores of men whose life he saved. By himself. All one night and part of the next day. All alone. Desmond Doss continually went out into the no man's land where his fellows were suffering wounded. Under fire. With no weapon but his prayers, his Bible, and his back. And one by one, he drugged those men to the sheer cliffs and lowered them down, saving scores of men. Can I tell you? Can I tell you that those men who scorned him praised him? They prayed with him, knowing that in the end he was the stronger, knowing in the end he was the ablest, knowing in the end that his conviction made him the victor. You and I are victors today because of Jesus. Yes, you and I are victorious today because of Jesus. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done for us. Moving all of our sin, the power of sin, flipping it from its hold on me to now I am free. We need to live in that, rest in that every single morning. Amen? Is that true? To accept that the power of sin has been defeated in us by Jesus. To reject the remnants of sin that is all around us, always trying to pull us in. Mess us up, trip us up, and to embrace the freedom that comes in Christ. Follow him. Follow him. Follow him. Don't we just love Jesus today? Amen.